All right, everybody should have a handout. We're in lesson number 11. This will be the last lesson of this book. All right, so the handouts are on the back table. And this is the last lesson of the book, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. So we'll start there. And chapter 11 and 12 go together. So we'll put them in one lesson. And this is where Solomon, as you see in the title, comes to the conclusion. I mean, he's been up and down the roller coaster. He has tried everything. He's been seeking and searching for the meaning of life. And he keeps coming up with the same conclusion, vanity. But now he's going to come up with the conclusion. He's going to say, I've tried everything, and this is the conclusion. So the introduction, having tried everything life has to offer under the sun, Solomon comes to the conclusion of his long search for the meaning of life. Everybody's looking for meaning. Everybody's looking for purpose. So many look for it in the wrong places. They try money, they try popularity, they try pleasures, and they can't find it. They keep coming up empty. Just recently, because you know you have to wait in waiting rooms at doctor offices and wherever you have an appointment, and they always have these nonsense shows on when you're in the waiting room. And they had this one on, this one show where they're interviewing these women who are known for their extravagant lifestyles. And the one woman, this is an unsaved woman who probably, you know, I'm pretty sure doesn't read the Bible, okay? And she was, you know, opening up to the people around in this little forum discussion they were having. And she opens up by saying how she has everything good on the outside. You know, she was all pleased with her appearance and she was all pleased with the things that she had. But from her own mouth she said, but I still feel empty inside. Imagine that. And we know what she needs. We know the only answer that can fill a person's emptiness. But it's amazing how people are searching for meaning. Unsaved people are searching for meaning. And so many of them, like that woman on regular television said, you know, I feel empty inside. They have no substance. It's all just skin deep. And that's what Solomon's been battling with. So when Solomon now comes to the end of the book, he says, here's what life is all about. So number one is from chapters 11 and part of chapter 12. Number one, do all the good you can while you can. That's one of his conclusions. Do all the good you can while you can. Because you know there may come a day when you can't do good anymore for others. Whatever the reason, we're going to see why. So chapter 11 and verse number 1, he starts off by saying, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. What is he talking about? Well, verses 1 and 2 have a common theme. It's about giving. It's about letting go of what you have. He says, cast thy bread upon the waters, and then you'll find it back again. Some people relate this even to in the days of Solomon, how they used to send things across on ships, across the waters, trading with other nations. Solomon was known for doing that. Verse 2, give a portion of 7, also the 8, because you don't know what's going to happen. Give while you can. That's the point of these verses. Letter A, God blesses those who are giving. Letter A, God blesses those who are giving. He says, hey, give. And as Jesus said, and it shall be given unto you. Cast thy bread upon the waters. You'll find it again. Give out what you have. It'll come back to you. Let's look at some verses in Proverbs. Proverbs 11. So one thing that Solomon says in the ending here of the book, he says, be a giving person. Be a giving person. That's where you can find meaning in life, when you give to others. See, the opposite, being selfish, is where you find dissatisfaction. You find yourself becoming miserable when you become selfish. You find yourself becoming unhappy when you hold on to everything and don't share and don't give. Proverbs 11:24. Let's have somebody read that.
There is that gathereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but intendeth to poverty.
Okay, so there's those who give, it says in verse 24, those who scatter, and they increase. They're blessed. They have more than they could need. But then he says there are those at the end of the verse, he says there are those that hold back from giving, and they're the ones that end up in poverty. You see, when you give, you'll be blessed. When you don't, you won't be blessed. Let's have somebody read verse 26. Same chapter, Proverbs 11, 26.
He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. A blessing shall be upon the head of him that soweth
it. See, those who are stingy, don't want to give up anything, and keep it all to themselves, they're not going to be blessed. Letter B, don't be stingy by being overly cautious. Sometimes in the name of being cautious, oh, I can't give this away because, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. That's what verse 2 is talking about. Give a portion of 7, also to 8, back in Ecclesiastes 11. Give out, because you don't know what evil is going to happen. When then there might come a time where you have nothing left to give. Give while you can. Don't be overly cautious. He's going to give some other verses in the same chapter that talk about that. Letter C. Often what we let go of, we find later. But what we hold on to and refuse to let go of, we lose. There's an example listed there. Jochebed and Moses. Jochebed was Moses' mother, right? What did Moses' mother do with Moses? She gave him up. She let go of him. She gave him to God. She made that little basket and put him in the Nile River there. She let go. What did God do for her? Gave him right back. Because remember, Pharaoh's daughter found Moses in the river. And immediately she asked, who can find me a nurse for this baby? And Miriam was there, the older sister, said, I can find one. And she brought the baby right back to the mother. Because she let go. You see, but often what people hold on to and won't let go of, they'll lose it. Okay? How about another proverb? Proverbs 13, 7. Proverbs 13, verse 7. Another verse that talks about giving versus being selfish. All right, Proverbs 13, 7. If somebody would read that. Isn't that great? One of those ironies of life. Those who keep for themselves, really, in reality, they're the poorest of all. The richest people are those who give. They're the ones that are rich. Rich with God's blessings. God blesses those who give. Giving to others. Letter D. In all areas of life, try to use all means available to you to accomplish good. Whatever means are available. There's all different ways to do good to people. Some, it's not just money. It's time. Just giving of your time. Some people have a great ability to cook. And they can cook meals for other people. Some people have great abilities of cleaning. And they can help others clean. Some have great abilities of fixing things. And they can help other people fix things that are broken. There's so many areas of life. It's not just talking about money. It could be time and talents that you have where you can help somebody fix things or clean things or cook for people that need help. There's many areas of life. So that's why it says in verse number 2, again, the idea of giving in all different ways that you can. All right. Then he comes to verse 4. And you know, before we go on to verse 4, this also applies to spreading the gospel. You know? Spread the gospel with any means you can. Any means possible. All right? You know, when you talk to people, you know, when you're at a restaurant leaving a gospel tract, when you send out those Christmas cards every year, putting a gospel tract inside or writing some scripture. I mean, you could list many, many ways where you can use it to spread the gospel. There's many methods. So I think that applies to the church as well. Do all the good you can while you can. That dog's trying to come in the church now. Verse 4. Take a look at verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. This is, now you got to transplant yourself out of North Jersey and take yourself to a farmland somewhere and pretend you have a farm, okay? And you have, you know, you have to plant your own crops, okay? You're depending on the fruit of the earth. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. What is pictured here is the farmer who every morning looks outside his window. Says, ah, you know, it's just too cloudy today. I can't work today because it might rain. So he doesn't plant. And then the next day, oh, it's too windy today. I really can't go out and plant my seed. And every day he has a new reason why he can't plant or work. Guess what? He's not going to sow. Or he's not going to reap, rather. He's not going to reap because he hasn't taken the time to work. So letter E, don't wait for the perfect conditions to begin doing what is right. Oh boy, we're good at this. You know, it's too chilly out. I can't go out today and do this ministry. It's too windy, or it's too weird. We're really good at making up excuses why we can't do what we're supposed to do. We look up, oh, it's raining out. I can't go to church today. I'll get wet. I mean, and if I get wet, I might get sick. And if I get sick, I can't go to work on Monday, and I got to pay the bills. So I better stay home today because it's really raining and cold. And we make excuses, don't we, why we can't do what's right. And then we wonder why we don't reap the blessings. Why am I not being blessed? Well, maybe because we haven't been sowing the seeds.
Amen.
You got to sow the right kind of seeds. See, so Solomon says, don't be an observer of the wind and one that looks at the clouds and gives reasons why they can't do what's right. Letter F, stop using excuses for not serving the Lord.
Amen.
Stop using excuses. Now, we know there are legitimate reasons. There are. There are legitimate reasons why, you know, if a person's sick, yeah, listen, do us a favor. Don't come to church. Some folks get this idea that it's spiritual to drag themselves up the stairs, coughing and hacking and sneezing. Look at me, I'm sick, I'm dog sick, but I came to church. Yeah, thanks a lot, now we're all going to get it. You know, do us a favor. If your dog's sick, stay home. That's not spiritual. So the Lord knows when there's a legitimate reason for not doing something. Okay, there are times where, yeah, you ought to stay home. Don't share those germs with all of us, okay? But then the Lord also knows when they're not legitimate excuses. The Lord sees right through. Look at Luke chapter 9. Jesus told the story here. Luke chapter 9, and people making excuses. Luke chapter 9, and all the way at the end of Luke 9, verse 57. People were coming up to the Lord, and one man came up to the Lord and said, Lord, I want to serve you. And Jesus, who could see right through people, because he's God, you know, he came right back and said, are you really sure here? Because, you know, Jesus can tell when people are just giving lip service, when they're just talking and not really going to back it up. Look at Luke 9:57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I mean, this is one of those bold statements, you know. I'll be faithful to you wherever you go. And look at what Jesus said in verse 58. Jesus said, okay, you know what? Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Just so you know, old bold man, I don't have a home. So you sure you want to follow me? You know, maybe this man was thinking he was going to follow Jesus and receive some kind of special position and promotion and some nice place to live. You know, who knows? People will serve the Lord for all kinds of wrong reasons. And in verse 59, he said to another, follow me. So Jesus turns to another person and says, hey, how about you follow me? But then he said, oh, Lord, I got to go home first and bury my father. Now, what most people believe here is that his father wasn't even dead yet. But he was basically saying, oh, you know, I got to stay home. I got to take care of my family and, you know, this and that. And listen, family is important, no doubt about it. But when family keeps us from serving God, then it's a problem. You see, who comes first? Now, I don't believe in throwing your family by the wayside in the name of serving God. Many men have done that in the ministry and they lost their family in the process. And that's not right. But there also is a balance. This man was basically saying, oh, Lord, I can't serve you until... you know, this happens. Then verse 60, Jesus said this, let the dead bury their dead. You go and preach. I want you to preach for me. Verse 61, another said, Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me go bid them farewell which are at home in my house. In other words, you know, I got to go home first and spend time with these people. And Jesus said in verse 62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. The point of these verses is God's work comes first.
Amen.
Now we don't forsake our families. We don't neglect our families. That's very important too. But sometimes family becomes an excuse for not serving God. And that's what Jesus is talking about.
I tell that to my sons all the time. Jimmy, Raven, I said, I don't care what you have to do. Put that aside. Do God's work first.
Yes.
Then take care of the other thing.
Amen.
God will bless both things that you do.
That's right. So, yeah. And you know, again, it's always balancing in life, but don't use excuses. Letter G. If we do not sow, then we will not reap. Everybody wants the blessings, but nobody wants to do the work.
Amen.
Everybody wants the blessings, but you got to do the work too. We do all the work we can, and then we let God bless it. But if we don't do any work, then what is God going to bless? See? So we have to do our part. Now, back in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. What he's talking about here is letter H. Don't wait until you have everything figured out, because there will always be some things that you cannot figure out.
Amen.
Don't wait until you have everything figured out. Sometimes we want to know everything before we begin doing it. You know, oh, well, I don't know if we should do this work because, and we have all the reasons why we shouldn't. Don't wait until you have everything figured out. You'll never have everything figured out. Now in 11, 6 through 10, he says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether it shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and the pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. He's beginning to talk now, and he's going to continue it into the next chapter, about using your youth and energy for the Lord. Okay, look at letter I. Do good while you can, because there may come a time when you can't.
Amen.
He says in verse number 6, you know, you got to work in the morning, and even maybe in the evening, because, you know, farming is one of those round-the-clock jobs, and he compares that to the Christian life. You know, there's no part-time Christianity.
Amen.
It's full-time. It's morning, day, and night. It's all day long, and it's not just once in a while. And then letter J, youth is a wonderful time for serving the Lord.
Amen.
Youth. Mm-hmm. Youth is until you're how old? 60, right? Right?
100.
Once you're, until you're even in your 60s, you're still young these days, right? So, you know, youth. Basically, while you have good health and energy, and it's just, that's your opportunity. Because there will, if the Lord tarries, and He blesses us with long life, there will come the day when we can't. There will come the day when we are slowed down with health problems and difficulties getting from point A to point B. Those days will arrive if the Lord tarries and if He lets you live long enough. So that's why youth is so important. In verse 1 of chapter 12, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. In other words, while you're vibrant and strong and healthy, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. And letter K, he tells them, remember your Creator. Letter K, young people need to be constantly reminded about the things of God. This applies to our teenagers in our church, but also any others. Young people need to be constantly reminded about the things of God. And then in verses 2 through 8, he goes on and discusses the difficulties of old age. And he speaks in symbolic terms. You know, there are some places in the Bible where symbols are used. So in verses 2 through 8, he begins to discuss how the faculties diminish. He's going to mention eyesight, hearing, you know, physical tastes and things like that, and how all those things decline. Listen to these words in verses 2 through 8. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. That's talking about eyesight becoming less. Verse 3. In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease. Grinders are your teeth. Losing teeth. Because they are few. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. Again, eyesight mentioned again there. And in the beginning of the verse 3, body trembling and not being as stable. Verse 4, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding is low. Now you can't hear as well as you used to. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. Right? Waking up at 4 a.m. Waking up really early. When you used to be able to sleep in a little bit when you wanted to. Now you can't sleep anymore. You're losing sleep. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. Many believe that's talking about the gray hair. And the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Everything becomes a burden, bothersome. That's why it's important to be walking in the Spirit when you're up in years, right? Otherwise, the non-spiritual elderly folks may become cranky, right? Everything is bothersome. Things that never used to bother you now bother you. This is Solomon speaking, alright? Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. And then verse 6, or ever the silver cord be loosed, and the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, and the wheel be broken at the cistern, just breaking down. The body breaks down. Verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Isn't that what the fall of man brought? Isn't that what God said to Adam and Eve? You have eaten of this fruit that I said not to, and you know what? Because of that, you shall die. You were made from the dust of the earth, and to the dust of the earth you will return. That's because of sin. Thankfully, though, that's not the end of the story, right? Because we have an eternal soul that will live forever if we know the Lord is our Savior up in heaven. You see, that's the wonderful truth there. So, you know, these are sad verses. These are not pleasant verses. The breaking down of the body, the loss of faculties, the wearing down. Those are not fun. Nobody desires that. But then I do like the phrase in verse number 5 where it says, man will go to his long home. We are heading home. And that's the wonderful truth. Amen. And the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it at the end of verse 7. But he says this is all vanity in verse 8. See, it's not pleasant. So letter L, old age will bring its difficulties. Letter L, old age will bring its difficulties. And that's why Solomon says, serve God while you can. And letter M, we are all on a journey heading toward our heavenly home. We're all on a journey heading to our heavenly home. A poem here by an unknown author says, When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in traveling on, time gone. That's how time works, right? When you're young, it goes by so slowly. You're counting down the days till Christmas. It never seems to arrive. And then when you become an adult, it's like, what? Is Christmas already? Again? I mean, we're already approaching that season again. So, do all the good you can while you can. Now we got 2 more points, but these are shorter verses. Number 2, fear God. That's verse number, if we go down, verse number 13. But let's read a few verses before that. He talks in verse 9. Because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, sought out, and set in order many proverbs. And then verse 10, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. And listen to verse 11, the words of the wise are as goads. Now a goad was a long stick with a little spike at the end that they used to poke the animals to get them to move. You know? So the words of the wise are like a goad to kind of prompt us and poke us into action. And then he says, they're like nails. which can be, you know, used to build things, and you can put things upon them even. So the words of the wise, letter A, wisdom is a key to success in life. Wisdom is a key to success. Now, how does that apply to our point number two, fearing God? Well, because the Bible says in letter B, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How do we get wisdom? We fear God. We respect God. We understand who we are, and we understand who God is. We recognize what we aren't, and we recognize that God is in control. That's the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. And letter C, letter C, so many today are not wise. Why? Because they do not fear God.
Amen.
Why do we see so much foolishness in the world today? People don't fear God.
Amen.
People don't respect God. They disrespect God. They have no fear of God. They have no, they don't even think that they're responsible to Him. They feel like they're their own God. They make themselves gods. That's why there's so much foolishness in the world today. That's why common sense doesn't exist, because people don't fear God.
Amen.
Now, letter D, when searching for wisdom, guess what? We have to go to the right place. Go to the right place.
Amen.
And that's in the Word of God. Don't go to the bookstore. All right? Don't go to the internet. Go to the Bible when you want wisdom.
Amen.
Okay, those other things are going to... You don't know what you're getting half the time. Go to the Bible. Trustworthy. Letter E. You can build your life on the words of the wise. They will hold things together for you. Just like the illustration in verse 11. They're like nails. Nails hold things together. You take the nails out of a structure, that structure is going to fall apart. Nails hold things together. Wisdom, the words of the wise from the Bible, are like nails. They hold your life together. How many people do you know whose life is falling apart, literally? Why is that? There's a reason for that. Because they're not following God's Word. What did Jesus say? He said, he that heareth my words and doeth them is like the one that built his house upon the rock. And when the storms came, the house didn't fall down. How many people's homes, and I'm not talking about the actual house itself, but how many homes inside are falling apart?
Amen.
Why? Because they're not following the book. The words of the wise are like nails. They'll hold things together. And then he talks about in verse 12 how, further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Any student will say amen to that. Studying is no easy task. Preparing for, if you want to do well, that is. I mean, if you want to get an A, it takes hard work, studying, right? It's not easy. And that's letter F. Studying is no easy task. It takes much effort. Well, guess what? Let's apply that to the Bible. People want to know God's Word, but yet are they putting forth the effort? Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You see, you got to study God's Word if you want to know it, if you want to be stronger as a Christian. But, you know, just the same thing as in a class. If you want to earn an A in a class, you got to put forth the effort. You got to put some time into it. You don't just show up to the class and get an A. That doesn't happen. All right? You don't take a college course and just show up, and then the professor's going to give you an A. That doesn't happen. And why is it then when we come to the Bible, we just take this laid-back approach that, yeah, I don't really need to study it. You know, I'll just kind of casually look through it once in a while. How do we expect to get an A in the Christian life if we're not really studying the book?
Amen.
You got to study the book if you want an A in the Christian life. Doesn't that make sense? But yet there's so many Christians out there that are getting D's and F's in the Christian life. And why? Well, have you been studying the book? Well, no. Well, that's why you're failing every quiz that God gives you. God gives us quizzes, by the way. God gives us tests, doesn't He? And you're failing every one. Why is that? Maybe you're not studying the book. You know, God's given us a manual to study so that when the quizzes come, we can pass them. But if, you know, Christians don't study, and then they have this puzzled look on their face. Why did I fail that test? You know, almost like a junior high student. Why did I fail? Did you study? And then they, oh yeah, I studied. Yeah, for 5 minutes they look through their book the night before. Yeah, I study. That doesn't count for studying. You see, you got to put the time in if you want to pass the test. And letter G, if we truly fear God, then we will stay away from sin.
Amen.
Christians like to dabble in sin. No, because they don't fear God. They think they can get away with it. Nothing's going to happen to me. God's not going to deal with me. The Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So we got to fear God. And that includes staying away from sin. That includes studying the book. And then lastly, number three, keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. Look at verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Solomon, at the end of this book, after being through everything, says, hey guys, this is what life is all about.
Amen.
This is it. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. This is what life boils down to. It's not what you have. It's not the possessions or the riches. It's fearing God and keeping his commandments. Letter A. Obedience is one of the most important qualities God expects. Obedience. Simple obedience. We don't have time to look it up, but 1 Samuel 15:22 is where Samuel went to Saul. And Saul tried to play this game where he changed what God said. God said, destroy everything. Saul said, well, I'll destroy most and I'll keep the best. And after all, we can offer it to God. And Samuel said, no, see, you're not obeying God. God made it very clear. And we try to do the same thing sometimes. We know what the Bible says, but we try to twist it. We try to put a footnote here and a qualification there and say, well, you know, I know the Bible says this, but... How many times have you heard somebody say that?
Amen.
I've heard that phrase. I know the Bible says this, but... Once you put that conjunction but in there, you've made a mistake. Because there are no ifs, ands, or buts with the Bible. God's Word doesn't say, do this if... If you want to, or do this unless this is your circumstance. Because every time somebody says, but you don't know my circumstances. Now, God knows your circumstances, and the Bible says this is how it is. So if you want the blessings of God, then just obey it. So obedience is the most important quality. Letter B, our love is shown by our obedience. Listen, you could say you love God all day. And you can shout amen in church all service. But your love is proven by obedience.
Amen.
Because anybody can shout amen in church on Sunday. But who's obeying God's word on Monday?
Amen.
That's how our love is shown from the Lord. That, you know, anybody can say they love God. And you every once in a while you meet the outgoing one who wants to tell you how much they love God. But you know what? Let's just prove it. Don't say it. Just do it. Alright? Letter C. A believer should enjoy keeping God's word. You know, if you're a believer in Christ, you should enjoy keeping God's word. It should not be a chore.
Amen.
There's something wrong with us if it's a chore to keep God's word. Then there's something wrong in our heart. Then our heart is not fully dedicated to God. If it's a chore, like, oh, I have to read the Bible, so I better get my chapter in. Something's wrong. Something's not right. Uh-oh. Well, I'm not getting into that. Listen. You know, it should be a delight. It should be something we enjoy. It's like it's a meal. I mean, listen, you enjoy eating, right? And I know there's some foods that not every meal is equally enjoyable. You know, I don't enjoy eating peas. But when my wife serves them to me, I eat them. And because my kids are watching me, so they can, I have to. Because if I don't eat them, they're going to be like, look, Dad didn't eat his, why do I have to eat mine? So I have to. I don't like them. They're really not my favorite, but they're healthy for me. Is every book in the Bible, you know, easy reading? No, I just recently read through the book of Leviticus. That's a tough book to read through. There's some tough parts of the Bible, but you know, some parts you get through and you trudge through, but you do it. But listen, there's so many other wonderful parts of the Bible that are like, you know, desserts. Alright, and they're enjoyable. Like the Psalms. The Psalms are like desserts. They're wonderful. The Proverbs. I mean, you know, they're just wonderful portions of the Bible that are enjoyable. So we should overall enjoy the Bible. If it's if the Bible is a repulsive book to you, well, then there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. There's something wrong with you. You got to pray about that. Say, Lord, change my heart. Help me to enjoy it more. All right, let's just get through the next few points. Letter D, life will never be vain when we're following God's Word. Remember that word vanity that keeps that Solomon's repeated dozens of times in his book? Well, guess what? When you serve God and follow God's Word, your life will not be vain. It will not be empty. That's what vanity is. You will not have an empty life. Letter E, the Lord expects us to know and follow His Word. Listen, when we stand before God someday, there's no excuses. Well, Lord, you know, I just didn't have time to read that chapter. God's going to say, I gave you my book. You have no excuse. Right? You know how to read? Good. Then you're responsible for everything in this book. You don't know how to read? Okay, fine. We'll give it to you on audio CD and you can listen to it. Alright? God expects us. There's no excuses. Well, Lord, I didn't have time to read the Bible. God's not interested in excuses. And letter F. God blesses obedience to His Word. Letter F. God blesses obedience. So, if you want to be blessed, you have to obey God's Word. And lastly, letter G, Solomon realized in the end what really mattered in life. Letter G. It took a long time for Solomon. But he finally, in the end, realized what mattered in life. And that's verse 13. The conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Isn't that simple? That's something you can all remember. Fear God and keep His commandments. Solomon said, I've been through everything. I mean, this book of Ecclesiastes we've been studying now, this is our 11th Sunday in it, and we're done with it now. But, I mean, he tried everything. He tried money. He tried all kinds of possessions. He built things, palaces. He had literally hundreds of wives. He tried everything you can imagine. But in the end, he said, none of that brought me happiness. None of that brought me meaning. Only fearing God and keeping His commandments. That's what brings happiness. All right, we're going to close in a word of prayer, and Brother Tony will let you share something with us, and then